point.
Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and I'm looking at Jordan Crabtree.
Hey, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Jordan. Jordan is the writer, director, and producer of The Myth of Winter, which is a kick-ass film that I love that you can see right now on the Discover Indie Film TV series. It's in Season 4, Episode 5. That TV series is on Amazon Prime Video, so you just got to go to Prime Video, search for Discover Indie Film. And if you want to see Jordan's film based upon his wonderful answers, I didn't do this intro in the same order I normally do, but hey, he's about to answer the four questions, which are favorite films of all time, an underrated film, an overrated film, and a lesser-known film that people should seek out. And I have a feeling after you hear his answers, you're going to be like, okay, now I want to see his film. So to do so, go watch The Myth of Winter. It's in Season 4, Episode 5 of the Discover Indie Film TV series on Amazon Prime Video. All right, I'll stop mentioning Prime and just let Jordan start in on his favorite films.
All right, so my favorite films, or I should say three favorite films, since that was the prompt, but it's all kind of the same answer because my favorite films are the Lord of the Rings trilogy. The 2001 to 2003 trilogy directed by Peter Jackson. Love those films. Those are the kind of the films that kind of got me into filmmaking. It's those films and the behind the scenes kind of features on those as well. If you haven't seen those are amazing. If it's an entire film school in itself on a big budget level, highly recommend go and watch them.
I love those films. And so you're just going ahead and saying my top three are all three.
All three.
One, two. Yeah. And the extended versions.
I love the extended versions. I think maybe Return of the King may be better theatrically, but I love them both. I always have to watch the extended versions. It's weird. For the first time this past Christmas, I watched the theatrical versions, and I was like, whoa, there's so much missing. I was like, oh, I didn't know this way it went. And it was very weird and odd. But I love those movies.
They were amazing films. Mm-hmm. I support you 100% in this choice. And I just want to share that every year for 3 years, I actually went to Vegas around Christmas time because I think they were always Christmas movies. They always came out around Christmas time. Yeah. So I was always in Vegas and we'd always go to like the biggest IMAX in Vegas and watch Lord of the
fantastic.
Rings. Oh, it was amazing. And my wife at the time, who wasn't really into it, there were always moments in those films like where armies would clash and she would, and I just hear her go, oh my God.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, see, even someone who's not into fantasy, not into the storytelling, was overwhelmed with the quality of those films.
And even to this day, there's like certain moments that I still get goosebumps from where it's just like, it still has that effect on you after so many years, after like 20 years or so. Yeah. Fellowship is 20 years this year. And so, it just gives me goosebumps seeing that.
I'm laughing at the idea that was 20 years ago. Wow.
Yeah, it's really puts things in perspective.
So you didn't get to see them when they were in the theater?
Oh, I did, yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
How old were you when you first went?
In the third grade when the first one came out. And every year we would watch them in the theater. But whenever we would see the next one, we would watch the extended version before that, then go to the theater. So by the time we got to Return of the King, we watched both Fellowship and Two Towers extended. And then later that night, we would go see Return of the King in theaters.
That's a wonderful way to go. And big applause to your parents for taking you to those films.
Oh, yeah. They're huge fans.
Fantastic. All right. Well, now your second question is a film that's underrated.
My favorite underrated film is the 2008 Speed Racer movie. Have you seen that? It's by the Wachowskis from the Matrix trilogies.
I'm pausing in my answer because I always heard it was great. When it was in theaters, I heard it was great. I always heard, don't judge it by the Speed Racer thing. It's Wachowskis. Go see it. And I never saw it.
Highly recommend you do. I mean, some people don't like it because, I mean, there's a little annoying child character in that. But it's like, if you can get by that, it's a really solid movie. Like, there's an opening and ending race sequence that both of those sequences are master classes in editing. Like, the ending racing sequence, goosebumps every time, just the way it's edited. And for the opening race sequence, they weave the entire family's backstory together. You get like flashbacks of everyone over like at the opening race, and it's just wonderful. It's essentially a live action anime. It's a live action cartoon. It's wonderful.
I'm not surprised. I fully support them, and I cannot. I just I loved Bound, and I loved the Matrix trilogy. I even support the second and third film.
Oh, I love Reloaded and Revelations.
I thought Cloud Atlas was amazing. Is there something? I don't think they've had missteps. I think people thought there were missteps after Matrix, but I think they're
like
wrong.
Jupiter Ascending, but like I enjoy Jupiter Ascending. They had good moments.
I need to see that one.
Yeah, it had good moments to it. Good not everyone's moments. Favorite, but like, hey, all you right. know what?
Cool, if cool. your worst review of a Wachowski film is good moments, you're a good fan.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right. Well, good choices so far. Now comes the tricky one, overrated.
All right. So I'm going to reword this question, if it's all right, to what's a movie that received overrated hate or anger? Because this movie, in my opinion, is so much fun. It's amazing. And I think it's the model for what every fun summer action-adventure blockbuster should be. And it is Star Wars The Phantom Menace.
It's the first prequel.
The first prequel movie. It is amazing. I mean, if you're a kid going to a theater and watching this, like, it has everything there for you. It has, like, pod racing. It has lightsaber fights with, like, double-bladed lightsabers. It has a giant rabbit frog-like goofy creature there just, like, making jokes. It has everything there.
Obviously, that's... That's a very brave pick. I like that. It could have even been your underrated, I guess.
True, yeah. It could have been swapped up for underrated. But, like, if you're looking for just a good standalone Star Wars movie from beginning to end, that's just a fun, purely fun summer movie for kids, Star Wars Phantom Menace. Saw it 7 times when I was a kid in theaters. So good.
And I think that you're pointing out what a lot of the old nerds missed, which is when Star Wars came out in 1977, and I was... 9 It was a great kids film, and a whole generation of kids fell in love with Star Wars. And now they were in their 40s, and George Lucas came out with another kids film, a film that was probably more directed for kids than adults. Mm-hmm. And kids loved it.
Yeah.
And then everyone's mad because they didn't like how it fit with the original trilogy, but who gives a shit?
Yeah,
it entertained you as a kid. You loved it.
Like, the production value is amazing in there. Like, they did models and miniatures for that as well, just like the original trilogy.
You probably loved Anakin.
Oh, yeah. You connect with Anakin because he's a kid. I mean, yeah, looking back, yeah, maybe he could have been a little bit older, a little few nitpicks here and there. But you know what? It's still fun. I had a great overall time. Like, the experience that still stays with me. I love that movie.
I got to ask, what do you think of the two that followed?
They're fine, not as good, mainly because of one technical aspect, is because the other two were shot digitally. Phantom Menace was shot on a film, and for that reason, I think it fits more cohesively with the original trilogy because of that. Because just like from like looking at side by side, I can pick out, oh yeah, these look like they're in the same universe. Whereas Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith, a little bit too polished at times with just like the grading on that.
Yeah, it gets so sharp. And there's also so many moving objects at once that you would never do with models.
Yeah, yeah.
And I gotta admit, I can never get over Padme ending up being attracted to Anakin when he grew up after their age difference in Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
You just don't go for the boy that you babysat.
Yeah, it's like maybe he should have been a little bit older looking back, but, you know, that's a... That's a nitpick.
No, they just
yeah,
didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
He just needed to fall in love with someone else.
Yeah.
It didn't have to be her.
Yeah.
That creeps me out. Although, I guess, you know, some people have pressures on their babysitter. Worse for the boy, but
yeah.
I don't know. Unfair to her character. You make me want to revisit it. Although, I guess I did watch it again with the kid. I did show her right before Attack of the Clone. No, what was the first J.J. Abrams?
Oh, The Force Awakens.
Force Awakens. I went ahead and grabbed a 9-year-old girl and made her binge all 6 Star Wars films so I could take her to the 7th.
Oh, right on. That's
what are you
awesome.
Going to do?
Yeah. As every parent should. Yeah.
It's the only fun thing about being a parent is showing them old movies.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. That's all you get. All right. Well, the last question is a lesser known film that people should seek out.
Yeah. With this, I went with a movie I saw recently. I mean, it was like released by Sony, so it's like it had a fairly wide theatrical release, I think. But like, I just don't see it being talked about as much. And it's the 2005 Lords of Dogtown movie. I just really, really enjoyed this one. I like the other movies. I had a blast watching it. It was fun. Just reminded you of like skating with friends and stuff. It's just like a fun, fun movie. Catherine Hardwicke like directed it. It's
It is a great movie, mm-hmm. and it definitely didn't get the love. I have to tell you that I can't name who, but in the last month, someone else made that their lesser known someone should seek out because it is not well known enough at all.
Yeah, it's currently on Amazon for streaming, I think. That's how I watched it. But I think, honestly, this might be a controversial opinion, but I think Heath Ledger gives a better performance in this movie than The Dark Knight.
I love that you said that because I would... If only there were a group of people around, if we had a couple of those Dark Knight nerds here, then they could get all off on you. But I'm sure he's great in both. And
oh, yeah, I mean, he's a fantastic actor. He's great in both, but I think I prefer this one. It was a bit more, like, subtle in just the way he did, like, his mannerisms, his movements, and it's a bit more of a human character, which I enjoyed that he kind of gave his all in, which...
For sure.
Because every time he's on screen, like, you're just kind of drawn to his presence. He has such a magnetic... persona about him that is like it's very hard and it's very missed.
Absolutely, and as amazing as the Joker performance was, I think a lot of actors will tell you it's easier to go over the top.
Oh yeah,
than to be a full fledged three dimensional human being.
Oh yes,
for sure. All right, well, good picks. And by the way, I can't name it now, but there was a documentary made. Based on the same people.
I know what you're talking about. Dogtown or Z-Boy and the
Dogtown and Z-Boys.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
I need to watch that documentary. I think Sean Penn narrates that. I heard good things.
It's amazing. It's an amazing documentary. I forget where I got to see it. I think I saw it at a festival and it was, that's one of the best documentaries. And then they made an amazing narrative film, fictional film.
Makes me want to go back and rewatch the documentary now because it's such a compelling story.
I'm sure you'll love it. I'm sure you'll love it. All right. Well, excellent. All right, well, that was Jordan Crabtree answering the Discover Indie Film 4 questions. And I'm going to throw it to Jordan to tell you how to look up his stuff, because like I said, you just heard he has great taste. He made this cool film, The Myth of Winter. In fact, I got to see The Myth of Summer.
I'll send you a link.
I got to get a look at The Myth of Summer. But if you want to check out his stuff, I'm going to let him tell you where his website is.
Certainly, you can find my reel and other information at jordandcrabtree.com. That's jordandcrabtree.com. The D is with two E's.
That's right. D-E-E. Which, that's got to be tough, huh?
It is, yep. Everyone's like, yeah, what's the D stand for? Yep, just D-double-E.
Yeah, for sure. All right, well, he gave you his website. Now, I've got to name a bunch of websites because, as I said when I introduced Jordan, his film The Myth of Winter is in the Discover Indie Film TV series, which is on Amazon Prime Video. So just go to Prime Video, search for Discover Indie Film, and if you want to see his film particularly, it's in Season 4, Episode 5. And if you want to learn more about that TV series or this podcast, it's all about the best films that are handpicked from the festival circuit. Go to discoverindiefilm.com. And if you're on social media, go to @DAFWINS. And The Myth of Winter was at the Sherman Oaks Film Festival. If you want to learn more about the Sherman Oaks Film Festival, go to shermanoaksff.com. And on social media, it's @ShermanOaksFF. By the way, Sherman Oaks is such an awesome part of L.A. that Jordan moved from Texas to here.
Just for the film festival.
He's a Sherman Oaksian.
Right here in the Shokes.
I've heard young people, I've heard the term Shokes.
Oh, okay, I'm glad.
That's new. That's new to me. But I'm going to learn it.
We're spreading around.
Who knows, at some point I might have to break down and we'll have to have the festival by ShokesFF.com or something because we don't want someone else grabbing that. Uh-oh, I just said it out loud. But anyway, that's Sherman Oaks Film Festival that had The Myth of Winter. And if you want, there's also a sister festival for the Sherman Oaks Film Festival. It's every June. Sherman Oaks is every November. And every June, we run Film Invasion Los Angeles, which you can learn about at filminvasionla.com. And on social media, it's @filminvasionla. And I think that's all I have to say. Thank you, Jordan, again, for coming in and having fun.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Thank you for submitting Myth of Winter to Sherman Oaks and being a part of the Discover Indie Film TV series. I love films like yours, and I'm so glad that we can help more people see them.
Well, thank you, and thank you for watching.
Yeah, and thank you everyone for listening.